Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody, welcome to my speech impediment. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Hi Neil.
Hello.
And today we're continuing our conversation on analyzing karma. And we've got some callers in the queue. We're going to be getting to you shortly. Callers, please hang on because we will get to your calls. And in the process, you might learn something from our conversation. That might be nice. So 401 and 646, we see you in the queue. We'll be getting to you soon. Want to invite you, if you haven't already done so, to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, also on Facebook under our account, Neil and Kristen Baker, or Neil Baker Psychic. You may follow and like those pages respectively. And you may also join us on Twitter. The number for call-in, 914-338-0164. And please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. That shows us that you're in the queue. And after the show, the number to call, 562-596-7818. We're going to be ending the show a little bit early today because of a scheduled appointment. So we will do our best to get as much as we can in the 50 minutes we're on the air. So, Neil, we were talking after last show, and I think today what we're going to do is talk about the content of dreams in terms of analyzing karma, because dreams can be very revealing about the state a person is in their life in terms of the karmic weight that they're carrying or not.
Yes, that's true. Sometimes we have a hard time working out our karma in the physical body, and so what occurs is in our sleep, we leave our astral bodies intact with mind to the soul, leaves the body and starts to review some of the circumstances and the situation on the astral plane. Now on that plane, one can experience guides that might help, counselors that might help. There are realms and regions where one can reenact the karma and practice run it through. Sometimes that region involves a deep past life connection to perhaps a past life itself, more than just the past life of the immediate lifetime. Oftentimes, in moving out of the body and working in the astral realm, one's soul, astral body, will experience the future or the possibility of how the future can be arranged. So all of that energy can be involved in the dream state of the astral realm. In addition to that, there's in the astral realm, it's of several varieties, and we have to kind of determine where that's coming from. For instance, if there's a strong home environment or family environment involved in the dream symbolism, we're going to be looking basically at the first chakra and relationships second and so on and so forth. So the theme that occurs in the astral realm in regard to one's experience in the dream world, given that it's connected to karma in the first place, can also be considered where it is in the chakra location of the person having the dream.
Well, we're assuming that people are actually getting into the astral realm in their dreams, because a lot of times people will just have psychological dreams. I mean, there may be some astral travels, but the bulk of their recollection is the psychological dreams. So when the the astral body is moving out of the physical body into the astral realm and starting to work on karma, it's a good sign, because I think if you're inundated with psychological dreams all the time, you're not really doing much work in the astral plane that is, you know, remembered by the brain.
Well, yeah, I mean it's sort of inevitable that we do leave our bodies at night and venture out into the astral realm. There is sometimes we can consciously, even in our dreams, experience that, because there seems to be a movement in the dreams, either a sense of flying or a sense of moving from one location to
being
another.
Being in water, there's different signs.
Being in water is another one.
Yeah.
The mind itself will try to put together the pieces of a movement outside of the body and incorporate it into the dream state, because oftentimes, even in the astral realm, the physical body and brain is constantly drawing correlations and associations to what's being experienced in the astral realm, because they are two different aspects. Usually when you're having a karmic situation going on in the dream world, it's not something that's trivial. The theme itself is going to be very, very important to one's being.
Right. So pertinent to what's
casual.
Happening in the current lifetime?
Yeah. A lot of dreams seem to be kind of trivial and meaningless, and that's still open up to interpretation. But when you have a dream in the karmic, in the astral realm that has to do with karma, it's never trivial. There's no question that one didn't have a very serious, significant, impactful dream. So one way to analyze the karma of a dream in the astral realm is to measure its importance. What kind of effect did it have on you as the dreamer? And what was being worked out? Was there resolution in the dream, or was it left sort of open-ended? Were you talking to people you didn't know? I had a dream last night where I was in a crowd scene and a woman came up to me and flicked her fingers right in front of my face as though she were trying to
send energy
touch me
towards
with
you.
Something.
Yeah.
And it was a passing soul that what recognized me still being in the body, having a dream and doing something with the third eye of my astral self. The aspect of that had to do with something to do with more of on a worldly basis than a personal level. So a lot of my dreams in the astral realm have a lot to do with the world itself. I don't always get into these personal aspects of a dream.
Didn't I have a dream where someone flicked something at me recently? Like a week ago, I told you about that.
No.
That same motion you did with your hand.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, in we think of, on human level, we think of our hands as being energy.
Energy. So
you
it's
know,
an energy.
We do all kinds of things with our hands. And we
conduit,
do curses,
if you will.
We do all kinds of, we cross ourselves with our hands, do all kinds of things. In the astral realm, the inhabitants have hands, but they're not always literally hands. They're energy forms. And we, in our dream state,
translate
it into a hand.
Right.
But it's really an energy source. So that element of how we encounter individuals and inhabitants, when you're in the dream world and you're having a dream and you're seeing all these people you don't recognize, that's basically you're lifted out of your body and out of your personal dilemma, out of your personal world on the earth, and you're encountering, perhaps you're encountering spirits and souls that are having, that are in the dream world too.
That are actually connected to bodies. So
yes.
Not just people that have left the body permanently or, you know, before their next journey to the planet. You actually can encounter people.
People who maybe in this lifetime you don't know, but you knew from a past life, and they're working out their karma. So you're sort of in karma land where everyone's doing their karmic situation and sort of intermingling their energy. In another aspect, you may be encountering a spirit or a guide or a counselor that is sort of just passing through the astral realm and deciding to assist you, like somebody who might stop on the freeway and help you with a flat tire. a lot of spirits that are in the astral realm or have an altruistic nature and will help human beings having dreams. Unfortunately, there are energies out there that are not so nice, and they will encounter human beings in the astral plane and aggravate them, tease them, do all kinds of things, which, you know, it all sort of entails the kind of karma one goes up with into the astral realm. If you have a lot of karma going on, you can imagine the kind of weight you take with you when you enter the astral realm and have a dream. There's going to be a lot of karmic
intensity
content there because your brain can't release itself from it, even though you're astral projecting.
Right. So when you're less burdened with karma, the experiences in the astral realm are generally going to be more maybe involving higher entities or even being someone who's of service to others in the astral plane. A lot of times, you know, disembodied souls will approach a soul that's in the astral plane that is still connected to the body and seek assistance.
That's true. Unless one is able to clear themselves
before they go to bed
and prepare for an astral journey, leaving karma behind so they can understand and comprehend elements of a higher state of existence, and thereby maybe bring some of that information back to the physical waking form, to the waking body. And that might help and assist in the karmic element. A lot of times there needs to be a clarity. We go through life trying to have clarity of thought. When we enter the state of sleep, we try to have clarity of spirit. So if our spirit is clear, at least temporarily, we're going to have a better way of absorbing what we experience on the astral realm, whether there is karma or a lack thereof in the content of the dreams. So we're looking at these very specific things and analyzing them. And the basis of our conversation is supported by the fact that we do have dreams. They do affect us. And dreams can have a great impact on our consciousness. So in lieu of looking at that, we're also considering the content of what really happens in the dream world and how it might relate to this concept of karma.
Right. And, you know, the dream books don't really, you know, the books of symbols that are out there don't really, you know, they're a little bit one-dimensional. If you're looking up symbols in a book, it's difficult to relate them directly to a personal experience past life experience.
You can analyze a painting by the colors of the painting and some of the objects in the painting, but that doesn't take into effect the whole concept of the painting. The whole concept of a dream is karma, or the working out of the spirit and the soul. When you look at the specific symbols in a dream that some of the dream books establish, starting with the grandfather of the interpretation of dreams by Freud, but still it goes way before that, how one analyzes the dream world. The Greeks and the Romans did it constantly. But the aspect of how we actualize the totality of a dream far exceeds the symbolism of what we experience in the dream itself.
Okay, well said. Good. And I think we need to take some callers because we only actually have about 34 minutes left in the show, despite the fact that, you know, because we're going to have to end early today. Okay, so again, our order is 401-646, and then we have a caller from 781. So that is the lineup, the current lineup at least. Hi, 401. Who's this, please?
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil. It's Fernanda.
Oh, hi, Fernanda. I've been thinking about you, actually.
You have?
I have, and wondering what is going on with you.
That's what I wanted to know. What is going on? As far as I know, everything's still the same. We went to court, and again, there was another court order, and nothing's being done. Again, he's still refusing to.
You know,
responsibility.
Fernanda, you're yes. talking quickly, and we can't hear you. So that's.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's just the sound is always kind of faded on the show for some reason. So if you could talk right into your receiver and repeat what you said.
I said that I went to court, and another court order for the same thing. And again, he's still not complying with the court order. We were in court at the beginning of July, and he still has not complied with any of the orders from the court.
Okay, what are the orders, briefly?
For the payments, for the house, for the car, you know, all the financial payments. And
so he's supposed to be paying for the home and the car, and he's not doing that?
No. But also, I wanted to know what was going on between them, because I know she doesn't know what is going on financially with him. He's in a big, big mess, I found out.
Okay, and he's 622.74, right?
You're so good.
Well, you know what? I'm not in this case because I looked back. I have to be honest. So it's something I wrote down.
She's 11.25.67.
No, 7.25.67. 7.25. She's a 37.10.1, and I believe he's, what is his number? 10.20.31.4. That's right. You didn't remember. Okay. So do you remember Fernanda, Neil? She was having someone, the ex put, she was doing some kind of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ex, the person,
the woman that
her ex is currently with.
Yeah, the witchcraft situation.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing is to have a court order, and the other is to enforce it. And to that unfortunately takes a lot of effort on your part and your attorney's part to make sure that the orders are being enforced. And if your ex is not following through on enforcing that, that's a matter you have to pick up with your attorney and proceed with the court enforcing. The element of why that's happening is the just the unfortunate circumstance you have karmically with your ex, and then how this other kind of negative person came into the picture to further disturb the elements of your life. So I don't know. You have the only thing that I could say is when I'm looking at the element of July, which it just passed,
and it was her birthday as well.
Oh, July was her birthday.
Happy birthday.
That,
thank you.
What I'm looking at currently is that things start to change. Now, don't get upset, but things start to change in October. For some reason, something, some altercation, I don't know when we last spoke with you, but some,
few weeks.
Some altercation happened after we spoke whereby in the zone of July, something was triggered. Now, I want to ask you something in regard to that. Have you had any connection with flowers in the last 2 or 3 weeks?
What do you mean by connection with flowers? Like, did
well,
I receive flowers?
Flower,
watering
I
flowers.
Bought, I bought flowers.
Cutting flowers.
I bought flowers, yes.
You bought flowers?
Yes.
When?
Last week, last Sunday.
I bought okay, my, so that's
okay.
the connection.
So you bought flowers last week. Now, that one, that's our first validation in terms of trying to interpret what's going on. Were any of the flowers red? Was there any red color to any of the flowers?
Yeah, they like pinkish red roses.
Okay. Well, the way that I'm looking at this, Fernanda, is that there's a link between you buying those flowers and some kind of offset in the court proceeding. There's a link going on. I were you going to say something?
I was just going to ask her when her next court date is, because you were saying October. When's your next court date scheduled?
September.
September.
So in September, that court date should go better for you. Because October, there'll be a change. So that makes sense there. There's something about, I don't know what the tie-in is between the flowers and the difficulty, but there is a link between the two. I don't have time to go over that on the radio, but there is a link. Why did you buy the flowers? For whatever reason, why did you buy them?
It was my birthday, and he always gave me flowers, and since he wasn't here, I bought myself flowers.
Oh,
well, that's kind of sad. You know, there's a sad bittersweetness to that.
But it is connected, interestingly, to him.
Yeah,
directly.
It is connected to him. And what it means for Nanda, in this lifetime, you're supposed to take charge, control. That's what it means, because your ex lost the proper charge of life. He stumbled and fell and lost his bearing and his posture and fell into a disarray. He fell into discord. And now the universe is saying, okay, Fernanda, this is now up to you. You kind of remind me of Sigourney Weaver in Alien, where now it's up to you to fight the battle. And it's not a pleasant one. It's kind of scary. But there can be triumph there.
The problem, well, not the problem, but the trickiness of the situation is that Fernanda wants to continue relationship with him. She doesn't want the divorce. So, I mean, he's not only not paying, but she wants to reconcile. So
well,
it's challenging.
The element of the flowers.
And we have to move on.
The element of the reddish pink flowers holds some promise there, but we're not in any way able to resolve it at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Neil, I have a question. I heard that financial is wise, he's gotten worse. He now owes money to people, a best friend, and he stopped communication with his brother. His brother left the company. His company is going bankrupt. He's not communicating even with his best friend. He's losing all communication with everybody because of this woman. But I just wanted to know, this woman also believes that he's still doing great financially. Is there a way that she could, would she find out as she found out, finding out?
You mean that he's not doing well financially?
Yes.
So you think that, do you think her reasoning is to be with, I mean, part of the reason she wants to be with him is because she thinks that he's in a good financial position?
Most definitely. Most definitely, Kristen, because he had a company when he left. He owned a company. He was a very successful businessman, and that was one of the reasons that she went after him.
Well, potentially his direct or indirect links to money is still enticing to her. A person like this, they also get a high out of consuming people, not just the money aspect, but a lot of times the money is an incentive. But they also go after the body and the soul and the blood of the human being. They're vampire-ish. And so there's a desire that they hold in terms of that kind of human destruction.
Her question, though, is, and we have to move on because we have a shortened show today. Her question is the woman going to find out that he doesn't have money? That's the question.
Yeah, she's going to find out.
She will. Shortly.
Yeah, she'll
like
find out. She'll find out.
And
well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Those are questions we can't answer right now, but she'll find out and it will lead to more disaster.
Okay.
Okay, Fernanda.
Okay.
Well, keep us, you know, keep in touch.
I will. I will. Thank you both again so much. You guys are angels. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Not quite angels, but that's fine.
You guys are awesome.
Angels. That was sweet.
That was
thank
nice.
You.
Yeah. Okay, Fernanda. Take good care.
Thank you. Yes, bye.
Okay, 646 is our next caller.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
What's your name?
My name is Terry.
Terry?
Yes.
Have we spoken with you, Terry, before?
Yeah, about 2 months ago.
Yeah, I remember your name. T-R-R-I or Y?
T-E-R-R-I-E.
I-E, okay.
Yes.
And what's your birthday, Terry?
Okay, actually, my birthday is coming up next week. It's August 12th, 1980.
Okay. August 12th. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And you're 2911, too. Okay, and what did we talk about last time you called?
The last time I called, we talked about work, about employment. Just letting you guys know, I am starting to prep now to do job interviews, hopefully starting sometime in September. So.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we talked about.
I remember you.
Yeah.
Where do you live? New York? Do you live in New York?
Yeah, I live in New York, yes, and I do work.
Yes. Okay, I remember.
So, yeah.
I remember you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the work that you were trying to do, what was it? I remember the conversation, but I'm not remembering.
I work in a call center, and recently I hired an interview coach to help me prepare for upcoming job interviews. So that's been going really well. It's been given me the confidence to want to proceed, to want to go out and look for a job. Reason being because the job market right now is pretty tough. So I'll be competing with several other people, but now I know what to say and how to give impressive answers. So that's kind of working out really well for me.
We lost the last part of what you said. Could you talk right into your receiver?
Okay.
Neil thought you were talking about a can opener, so we definitely have a
I had you on speaker, so I just took you off.
Speaker does not work. We can never hear people on speaker.
Okay.
What's the call center? Not a can opener.
So what I was stating is that recently I hired an interview coach, a job interview coach, to help me prepare for job interviews. So that's been going pretty well. I have the confidence now to go out and get a job and feel confident in that interview. So that's what's pretty much been going on for me. And I just wanted to see do you see any new opportunities coming up sometime in September?
And are you looking for a job in a call center still? Is that the work that you're trying to do?
No. I want to go back. I'm trying to decide. I don't know if I should go back into the health benefits area.
That's right. I think you talked to us about that last time.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like, it's kind of tops. I'm kind of, let's just say, everything is up in the air in regards to what direction I would like to go in. I'm not too sure if I should go into the health benefits or should I go into the executive assistant. So right now it's kind of my call, but I'm kind of confused.
I think last time we were thinking that health was the better option, but
yes.
I'm not sure. I don't remember. But she's coming up on a change in 2018, in a year, actually, at 38. There'll be a shift. I mean, she already, at 29, there was a change, but there's an additional, because it's 11 years beyond.
Well, number one, we're seeing very positive things coming up.
Okay.
So that's one thing. Two, the way you spell your name, I keep seeing the word terrier. And terrier, they're tough dogs. They're tough dogs, and terriers are actually, they're built to go into holes and get rats. They're really a rat hunting dog. We like all animals. But we're talking about the breed itself and the way you spell it. And a terrier is more of the word terror. They're very aggressive. They're lean. They're strong pound for pound. But aside from that, just because of the spelling of the name, that's not what the breed.
I think
is
of the
on.
Word tenacious too with terrier. I know it's not the same exact, but.
Yeah.
Terriers they're
tough dogs and smart. They're smart and
Neil likes terriers.
Yeah, I like terriers. But here's what I'm getting. Your voice box is telling me you're going to be going into you have a very appealing voice in terms of helping. If I was getting your voice on the line and I was looking for assistance or help, I would be happy I was getting your voice.
But she's not going to be on the phone. I mean, she's going to be in person, so it will be transferred into.
Me.
Yes, I understand
the voice. I'm relating it to voice. So
right.
What we're getting, and the health issue is going to be a controversial, but it's not going to disappear. It's not going anywhere. There's going to be changes going through. There's going to be all kinds of stuff happening with it. But I think that's where and you're a terrier. You're a terrier. Your element of getting in there and helping to find the loopholes to assist people.
All right.
Because I think you like to assist. I think you like to help people. I think you get an internal enjoyment out of it. So so this is where I think the universe is going to place you. And it could be September. It could be by September 10th, for instance.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds excellent. Okay, sounds good.
And what specifically are you planning to do in healthcare? Are you wanting to work in a hospital?
I've done health benefits, employee benefits in the past. So I would not mind going back into that direction.
So like in insurance more?
Yeah, either insurance or either possibly it could be HR. But then at the same time, I'm kind of cross between going into the executive assistant direction. So,
what about
we do both?
Are you going to have direct contact with patients if you're in healthcare?
Healthcare, no, I would have direct contact with with hired employees.
You would be hiring.
Yeah. Administrative work. I think that you're going to be very good at analyzing the loopholes, at looking at the existing laws and procedures and finding ways to somewhat manipulate, but in a good way, the aspect of how to work within the law, but also to benefit those that you're working with. So, and
yes.
I think it will work both ways, also in terms of people abusing the system. But I think that life will be very exciting for you because you'll wake up ready to analyze certain problem-solving situations, and it will be very appealing to your sense of purpose.
All right.
Okay, so quickly, Terry, because you were saying there was with the executive assistant, you're being pulled that direction. Did you want to quickly?
Yeah, I mean, because I have over 5 years as an executive assistant. So it's just that I'm trying to decide, should I go back into that area or should I just stick with the employee health benefits?
I think the message is that you're going to be more you're going to be actualizing more of an energy that's involved in helping others in the healthcare
field. That's what I'm thinking. Okay.
Which is going to be better for your spirit than I mean, executive assistant can be good, but overall, you're going to impact more people, and it's probably better to go that direction.
For the time being.
All right.
The one holds a certain title and specific attitude, but you're under the direction of a human being more so than would be in
having
a more
the flexibility to navigate
category.
To the system and be able to impact and help people.
All right.
Okay,
sounds
Terry.
Good.
Well,
thank
keep
you
us posted.
So much. I
You're
will.
Welcome.
Hopefully, I'll give you guys a call back at the end of September or sometime in October to let you know how things are going.
Okay, sounds good, Terry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye bye. Okay, 781 is our next caller.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this? Laura.
Laura?
How you
spell
it?
Yeah.
L-A-U-R-A?
Yeah.
Okay. Laura from?
From Boston.
I'm sorry?
Boston.
Hi, Laura. Okay. Boston. Boston Terrier.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on, Laura?
Yeah. So I'm looking to start my own kind of like medical mediumship energy healing business. And I was wondering if you have advice or if Spirit has advice about steps I should be taking, like specific steps or educational opportunities, that kind of thing. Because I'm
well,
kind
what,
of...
Well, what have you... What have you for, well, let's get your birthday first, Laura. What's your birthday?
10/01/89.
Don't add a zero where there's no zero, just to let you know, because that is an energy. So 10/1. 89. You don't want an extra zero in there. 2/12... 17, 29/11/2, like our former caller. So for some background for us, what exactly, so you're a medical medium?
Well, I'm just starting out. I'm just starting out. I realize that things are obvious to me about people's health that aren't obvious to everyone, basically.
Okay, so what kind of training have you done in this regard?
Nothing really. Yeah, nothing.
Nothing, but you want to start a business as a medical medium. Well, I mean, my first advice on a practical level would be get some training, and also being in the field of diagnosing people, I mean, puts you in a precarious position in terms of legal ramifications. You have to be very careful. I mean, on the radio here, you know, we get people asking medical questions, and, you know, we have to provide the disclaimer that we are not allowed to give medical advice legally because we're not doctors. So you have to be very careful. But, you know, being that you're saying that you have a gift, I would definitely encourage you to nurture it, but I don't know if I would go into business right away.
Yeah, I mean, your best approach might be just to contact an attorney to know how to word your practice, that you give medical advice. You don't give medical advice, you give body advice, soul and spirit advice on an intuitive level. So you have to be very clear about what you do and how you do it, because if you're going to go specifically into this and have the freedom to navigate into the aspect of a person's body and to give information to them, you have to finely tune exactly what you do and how you do it so that you're not up to any potential lawsuit. So you might want to carefully put that into your element. You also want to learn about the chakra systems, how the body interconnects. A good medical medium, if you want to use that quote medical, would be you need to study the body. You need to understand the body. You just can't say, well, you know, I'm getting something in your stomach. If you're going to go specifically into this, you need to know the internal structure of the body.
Not only the internal structure of the body, but the etheric body, like you said, the chakra system.
Yeah.
So it has to be, you know, both on a etheric level and a physical level.
You know, that isn't to discourage you, but that is to, when you say you really haven't had a lot of practice, but you have a sense that this is what you want to do, and maybe you've had a little bit of exposure to it, hit the books. Study hard, look at it, do some practice runs on people that you know you trust. And that's where you need to go, first of all. You need to get into that element. You also need to understand how reading somebody else's body, when it's going to interconnect with
your
own
body. Exactly, and that can get very confusing.
The energy.
Let me ask, Laura, have you taken any classes just in the medical field at all? I mean, in terms
of... Yeah, actually, that's more my background, yeah.
Well, that's good. So you do have some education. So you do have some education.
Yeah.
So that's excellent.
So now you're dealing with the etheric body and the causal body, and you need to really know how the two interact, because we're dealing with more of an esoteric kind of medicine analysis that finally manifests itself into the physical body. So you need to understand the translation of that. Now, we don't mean to be talking down to you because you have some education, as you've expressed. But I think that this is a good place for you to go into. Your master number is 2, which has an intensity of body energy. You have high numbers in your system of 8 and 9, which correlate to the ability to absorb information from a higher realm. You've got to realize that in being a medical intuitive, you're not just connecting to the body, you're connecting to the etheric realm. And you're translating how that whole element interconnects with a person's life in terms of the soul journey that the person's been going on and is now incorporated into the physical body that they are now inhabiting. So you have to understand all of these concepts, because your potential clients are going to be asking you questions that you want to be ready to answer in terms of the broad scope of your profession. So, it's going to take a certain degree, but all of this is very exciting. All of this is a learning aspect. And if you open up your 6th chakra completely, you can absorb this stuff readily. It won't take that long. In 6 months, you can absorb enough information by the use of the 3rd eye.
But she needs to train her 3rd eye, too. I mean, that's an important part of it. So getting training in terms of learning how to work with the 3rd eye, and from a source that really knows what they're doing, because there are a lot of people out there that don't and are doing training. So that would be important too. Have you?
That's so true.
You're laughing. Did you want to say something in response?
No, that's so true. I mean, I see a lot of people doing energy work and stuff that I'm like, I'm not sure you know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's very common because there's really not, I mean, there's no standardization in the field,
you know,
really.
What's exciting about what you're going into in terms of medicine is the magical elements of medicine, the spiritual content of the body. And this makes it very exciting because it gives you a broader range of conversation that it can be very intriguing to your potential clients.
Definitely, Laura. Hopefully that helps you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, we have time for one more caller because we're closing the show early, and that's 205. They've been waiting for like 30 minutes. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Chantez.
I'm sorry? Can't hear you.
Chantez.
How do you spell your name?
S-H-U-N-T-E-Z.
Oh, yeah, we've talked to you before. I remember you. S-H-U-N-T-E-Z. Are you on speakerphone?
Yes, ma'am. No. I believe you just come
like,
on my iPhone.
You're on your iPhone. Can you talk right into that receiver? Because it's very difficult to hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
A little bit better. What's your birthday again?
6/25/81.
6/25/81. And what's going on? How can we help
okay,
you?
Okay, I had called before about possibly getting my CDL. Well, I've been contacted from two different companies, and I wanted to know which one you feel was the best one.
What was the question? What did you call about before? About getting what out?
My commercial driver license.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Commercial driver's license. And weren't there – so you would talk to us about the companies before, right?
No, you told me it was a good thing to go ahead and do it, and I was to see, well, I've contacted different companies about getting it, and I just wanted to know what did you feel about the companies that have called back.
So what are the companies that have called back? Because I do remember talking about companies. Yeah, yeah, you remember,
yeah,
too.
Remember. Uh-huh.
Maverick and Swift.
Yeah, we talked about Maverick last time. You may not remember, but I remember.
Okay.
Swift?
And Swift, but that's okay. I don't remember Swift, but I remember Maverick.
You know, it's funny. As a kid, Maverick, the TV show Maverick, James Gardner starred in it, and I
Did
was privileged to meet him because my family was involved in the studio. And Tom Swift was a boy scientist, and he had a series of books. So both those names mean something to me on a personal level. To me, when I look at you on the road, I get Maverick.
Didn't you say that last time? I feel like I'm having a deja vu here.
I don't know.
I think maybe.
But I'm getting Maverick.
Listen back, Chantez.
You know,
Chantez.
They both ring bells for me. Swift has a certain aspect of flight. Maverick has a certain aspect of land. But, you know, you're going to be hauling stuff and doing all kinds of things. And the aspect of traveling and commercial hauling things and doing trucking and all that, it's kind of fascinating because you're encompassed in a ship, so to speak. Two, you have a valuable equipment that you're doing, and you have to deliver it. It's got kind of a cowboy aspect to it, if you will. But, you know, when we talk about that element of cowboy, well, the translation of the cowboy to Star Wars and space and everything like that, I know I'm getting a little bit esoteric here, but what I'm saying is that the two jobs came in as buddies. They both can work, but right now Maverick has an edge. So I would approach Maverick first, and then if it doesn't work out, I think you'll get Swift. But I would go with Maverick first.
I would definitely listen back to that radio show that we had.
Okay.
Your reading, because I feel like this is the same thing that we talked about before in terms of Maverick. So,
yeah,
if that's coming in fresh, which it is, yeah, I would definitely think so. What's the process in terms of your... They've contacted you. Have you interviewed with the companies, or they're just contacting
you?
Well,
I've already interviewed, and they wanted me to go out on August the 13th. Well, they said something about orientation on August the 13th.
Was this out of state that you're going somewhere to the
Little Rock, Arkansas.
Little Rock, Arkansas. And you live where?
In Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, Alabama. Remember? I remember this was like
an out-of-state thing. Yeah, but which one is promoting?
Which one is the one that wants you to go out to training?
Both. One is in Memphis.
Oh, one is in Memphis.
The other one is in Little Rock.
Which one is in Memphis? Swift?
Yes.
And when's the training for Swift?
Swift could be anytime. They start every week on a Monday.
Okay.
But Mavericks is just, they have classes once a month.
And that's August 13th in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you're not going to, don't worry, you're not going to be, you're going to get one of them because they both support each other. But I would put my emphasis first on Maverick. Which one has this class first?
Well, I just didn't know if I'd be prepared by the 13th to leave to go to Little Rock. That's why
that's Maverick.
Right, but she's saying that Swift is classes every Monday, so like this coming Monday would be a class, but I'm sure it's probably too late to join that point.
Yeah.
So anyway, Maverick would be probably the first in that case.
Yeah.
If I don't look at my calendar.
And what's going on with black gloves? Do you have a pair of black gloves?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm seeing you wearing black gloves.
Do you wear gloves to drive?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, I saw that. So that's a sign. You're going to win one way or the other. But right now, just as a starting gate, Maverick.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Let us know how it turns out. She left. Well, we're out of time, actually, because we're closing early today. So we are back on the air at Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Bye-bye.